Good morning, everybody. Welcome to service this morning. I'm Pastor Steve. We're grateful to have you with us. Thank you, Dolores and Pastor Nance and teammates. You guys are going to play a little bit more, and then I'll just sing by myself. Your goodness is running after me. I'm not going to let you guys just hang out up here by yourselves, so I was kind of chipping in back there. I don't know if you could hear me or not. Father, thanks for letting me chip in this morning, Lord. We're asking you to help all of us to chip in together. Lord, we esteem your word even more than our necessary food. It's the food of the Spirit. Father, we thank you that you feed our hearts with your word. You feed our life with your word. You help us to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and you help us to put on the whole armor of God. So we thank you, God, that we have saints and Christians and people that are willing to put on the whole armor of God. They're willing to stand against the wiles of the devil and haven't done all to stand. Thank you for helping us to stand up for righteousness, to stand up with courage, stand up with conviction. Thank you, Lord, that we stand up for your word, for your truth, and for your church. And thank you for the word now we're about to receive. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. Again, I'm Pastor Steve. And, you know, there's a lot going on. And I would venture to say that we have a lot of opinions in the room today. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And my opinion of that is that y'all better let the word be first place.
Amen.
Now, I said that kind of in a funny way, but I mean that as serious, 100% seriousness. We must let the word of God be first place. What you think is important to you and what I think is important to me. But when it comes to what God thinks, we just have to humble ourselves. Take a step back, take a deep breath and go, what does God say? What does the word say? What is God's will in this circumstance? And if you will be that way, you're well on your way to being a fruitful, good Christian, because when you allow yourself to be led by God and to put his opinion as highest in your life, that is what's called being sold out to God. And so I encourage everyone, we all have to learn how to sell out to God. We all have to learn how to let go of self, you know. I mean, how long does it take to develop self and then all of a sudden as a Christian let go of self? So I commend all the Christians that were raised in Christian homes where they learned at a young age how to sell out and let go of self, because when you come out of the world and you accept Christ as your Savior, congratulations, that's awesome. We welcome you to the family, but it's necessary to learn how to let go of self, my opinion, what I want. You know, one of the biggest challenges is I know what I want, but Lord, your way is higher than my way, and I need to submit my will to your will. Can someone say amen to that? Father, thank you for your word this morning. We esteem it more than our necessary food. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Christians, man, I would talk about reward every service. Whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, in between, I would talk about that all the time because I love the rewards that are found in the Bible. But rewards always have conditions with them. And so each individual, we have to find out what the conditions of the rewards are. And generally, I can just bypass everything by just being fully surrendered and submitted to God, and that moves you up the ladder, and you can begin to claim and expect and believe that God has rewards for the righteous. The Bible says that. David was blessed beyond measure. There's so many Christians. You know, a lot of Christians in the New Testament chose to reject or resist or not participate or not go that direction. There were a lot of them that were choosing to suffer the separation from all those things to please God and to walk with God. But in this day and age, I mean, you got your choice as to how you want to live your Christianity. And praise God, I enjoy the fact that being blessed is fun. Somebody saying being blessed is fun. It's fun. It's fun to be blessed. It's fun to have surprises. It's fun to have something good happen. Boy, it's better to have something good happen than to have something bad happen. Amen. Did I say a prayer? Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. So the song was, I wrote some notes to myself, and now I'm not even sure what I was writing now. I can read my writing, but all right, so again, Hebrews 10:35-36, cast not away your confidence. We have confidence in Christ. We have confidence in the word. The more word we have in our heart, then our confidence in God grows. It's called faith. So my objective to have confidence or to have faith is to continue to put scripture into my heart. And I'm a fan and a proponent and a salesperson for memorizing scripture. Because memorizing scripture will always be with you in thick and thin situations of darkness and light. When you memorize scriptures, the Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit. Why wouldn't you, if you're going to walk in this world, why wouldn't you want to have a sword on your side that at any time I want, I can pull out the sword of the Spirit, because there are principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. There's spiritual wickedness. There's all kinds of things. To have the sword of the Spirit simply just slices to shreds those things. And so I can walk happy. I can walk joyful. I can have a very, very enjoyable rest of my life. I'm believing God to have an enjoyable rest of my life. Some people are looking to tribulate. Some people are looking to suffer. Some people are looking for different things in their Christianity. I'm looking for the blessing of God and the favor of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. I'm looking for those things. And when I'm walking in those things, man, good things happen. Good things can happen to anybody in this room, anybody watching. Welcome again. We just want to encourage you that you can walk in the favor and the goodness of God. The songs, singing the songs. Your goodness is chasing after me. All right, so going on. After you've done the will of God, the scripture says, for you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God. What's the will of God? Well, that's finding out. Everyone needs to find out what the will of God is. First and foremost, his will is his word, and his word is his will. So if I want the will of God, then I get a concordance out. So if somebody says, what's a concordance? Then you need to get into studying the Bible, because a concordance is found in many backs of your Bibles where it's got words and words and words and where to find them. And we want to be able to find the promises of God. We want to be able to have, we need spiritual material. We need spiritual substance to have in our possession, so that when we are standing, when we are standing for the promises of God, I've got the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for and evidence of something I can't see. I can't see the fulfillment of the promise in reality, but I can see the fulfillment of promise in my spirit and my mind's eye. I'm seeing it, and so I want to have some substance that I can hold fast to my profession of faith without wavering. The key here is without wavering, because if I begin to waver on the promises of God and I start to lose faith and lose, backtrack and start to question, and all of a sudden, no, I want to stay the course. I want to hold fast to my profession, and I want to hold on to the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so what I have to hold on to is the evidence of things not seen. Is the word itself, the specific word itself, not just generally. I hear the Bible on the radio once in a while, or I hear the Bible, sometimes here, sometimes there. No, I want specific scripture so that when I'm in a tussle with the enemy, I have specific scripture that I can quote to him, and it's the sword of the Spirit, and I can slash him. I talk about fighting because there is spiritual warfare, and I generally don't live that way. I don't have to live that way, but there are times when the enemy comes to try and trick you or manipulate you or break fear to you, make you afraid, make you upset, make you nervous, make you worried about something going bad. You have a sword, you have a dagger, you have a weapon of our warfare that you can fight with. We have the war, the the armor of God, the whole armor of God, put on the whole armor of God so that my whole self is in battle gear so that when I step out in faith, I'm stepping out in faith, I'm making myself visible to the enemy. If I'm in the crowd, big deal. Who cares? It's just a crowd of people that say they're Christians. But when I step out by stepping on the word of God, I am stepping out. I'm making myself visible to God and to the spiritual realm. I now need to be strong in the Lord the power of his might, and I need to put on the whole armor of God because I've stepped out because I want to believe God for something. I want something good to happen to me. The Bible's full of good things that can happen to anybody in this room, but if you just hope something good is going to happen, then you're just back in the crowd. But when you step out and you say, I believe something good is going to happen to me, well, how do you believe that? It's based on this scripture, and I have this scripture, and when the enemy comes, I can take the scripture and I can speak it to the enemy. He won't stay. If you speak scripture to the... You can't say Bible, 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 Bible. It's not going to do anything. Yeah, but I'm using the Bible. No, specificity. You need to know something. It's better to know one verse than to read a chapter. Yeah, I'm in agreement to read a chapter. I'm in agreement to read the whole book. I'm in agreement to read the whole Bible. But when you're standing in faith, you need one verse by heart so that you don't have to run to your Bible to go, what was that verse again? You know it by heart, quoting the scripture. Did I lose my mic, Nance? Okay. I want to quote scripture. I want to know it. See, there's a difference here. There's a difference here between people that are generally believers generally. That's great. Thank God you're a Christian. Amen. Praise God. But then there are those that want to gain territory from the enemy. It's called taking back what the enemy stole, or pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to press in on the things that God has in my life. I want to go up to another level. Take it, we sing, take it to another level. And so there's so many things that, you know, there's personal things, there's marital things, there's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren things. There's city things. There are state things. There are national things. There are international things. There are eternal things. There are heavenly things. There are all kinds of things. So look at where I started, and that would be me, myself, and I. And then compare it to eternal things, universal things, world things, national things, local things, church things, people things, family things. And all of a sudden, I realize my things aren't that important. When I'm called by God to step up to a higher place, which is stepping up to a higher place means you're not just praying for you, you're praying for somebody else. That's the simplicity of step up. If you want to step up in God, stop praying for you. Oh, Amy, stop praying for me. I'm believing already that all is well with my soul. I'm believing already that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm believing already that I'm the healed of the Lord, and I say so. I'm believing already that these are the good things of God in my life. Now I'm stepping out of that realm. I'm stepping into another realm called intercession. Intercession simply means... Okay, somebody could say you could be intercession for yourself, but I'm talking about praying for something else. Everybody has somebody that needs you. And it would be a drag to get to heaven and you have somebody that you knew was on your heart time after time after time when you were in this earth and you didn't intercede for them and you stood before God and God asked you, what did you do when I put that person on your heart? And you'd be exposed. You'd instantly be exposed. Your heart would be exposed. Your motives would be exposed. Your selfishness would be exposed. Selfishness because I didn't care, or I didn't want to, or I didn't believe in it, or that's too heavy, or that's too high, or that's not me. I'm not like that. That's a lot of excuses, but so we submit to the righteousness of God. That was Romans 10:3. We do not frustrate the grace of God. Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If righteousness is by works, or our effort or our goodness, then it fails. So what we're doing here is we are, someone goes, well, yeah, that's right, grace. But there's a lot more to Christianity, and that's probably in the top five messages of importance to every Christian on earth is grace. But there's also the rest of the Bible, and one of them is righteousness. Romans 10:3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. All right, so I'm determining here what are my responsibilities as a general Christian. So we're all in this together. What are our responsibility as general Christians? And to walk in righteousness is just an absolute. I need to walk in righteousness. The righteousness, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The righteousness is imputed to me by faith in Jesus Christ. Now that it's been imputed to me, basically it's given to my life, and now I'm going to walk in that righteousness. And, it means that walking in righteousness changes our thinking quite a bit, because a lot of things, a lot of participation in things begin to kind of grieve us a little bit. They begin to, you get a check on the inside, you get this disquiet. David said, "Why art thou disquieted, O my soul?" And so what we do as Christians, we want to get ourselves in positions where we can listen on the inside, because a lot of times people don't want to listen, because they don't want to hear the conviction or God talking or God asking us to do stuff or challenging us. God challenges us. Sometimes he says, "Son or daughter, why?" And then we're accountable. We're accountable to Almighty God. So they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness, not having submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. So how do I submit to the righteousness of God? Accepting that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that my own righteousness is a filthy rags, and now I am the righteousness of God. Everyone in the room and everybody watching, we say, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ." That is a fact of every Christian on earth, but I would presume, unfortunately, that just a pinch of those believers know that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody goes, "Well, we all know that, but do you conduct yourself from that position of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus?" Because if you did, it would change a lot of things in your life. And so that's a challenge. I'm challenging. That's what I do. My job. I love to, because I have to challenge myself. I can't get up here. It's phony. It's phony for somebody to be a preacher and to tell you what you should do and then not do it myself. It's called a hypocrite. And I refuse to be labeled for eternity as a hypocrite. I don't want to go to heaven and heaven ask me why I was a hypocrite, why I was phony, why I didn't practice what I preach. Why wasn't I a doer of the word? Why didn't I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things? Why did I say it but not do it? So I want to make sure that I am doing what I'm preaching to you, and then I can challenge all of us to be doers of the word. Okay, so why? Going about to establish their own righteousness, they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That becomes religion. When you are not submitted to God, but you're professing righteousness, it's called religion, religious practices and strange beliefs and rituals that God says he hates. God hates it. God hates phony righteousness. You know what? It's just distasteful. And in some instances in scripture, the Bible says God spew you out of his mouth because it's distasteful to him when we're phony. And so I challenge everybody that, you know what? That's why sometimes we have to do basics. But usually as a mature Christian, if you resort to basics, quickly as you go through your checklist of basics, it's not a real checklist, but as you examine yourself in the basics, you realize, hey, I am a doer of the word. And now, boom, I have just propelled myself back to the place of being a fruitful Christian. And now I'm going to be a doer of the word and not phony. Amen. All right. So I'm not going to be religious. All right. Psalm 11:5, the Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loves violence, his soul hates. So God does try us. He tests our He doesn't. Let's be very cautious here, not to say that God tests us with misery, pain, and suffering. And I'm not going there. I don't believe that. I believe that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we don't have to live in misery, suffering, and pain. But sometimes things happen. They do happen, unfortunately. But God wants to test our righteousness in the sense of, hey, what do you believe? What do you stand for? Where are you at? Are you going to make a step for righteousness, or are you going to shrink back and you're going to cower in the things that you know you should not want to do? God wants all professing Christians to accept his free gift of righteousness by faith. True Christianity accepts God's free gift of righteousness by faith, then walks in righteousness. So the point being is that if I have been granted the gift of righteousness, which we have, now it's up to me to walk in that righteousness. Here's how you walk in it. You declare in your privacy, in your time of prayer, you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're saying something that is arrogant. It means you're quoting what God said about you. And because you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that's a fact. We accept facts of the truth, and then we confess those things out loud, because what they do is they build our faith and they help us to step out and to walk in righteousness. All right, so true Christianity accepts God's free gift of righteousness by faith, then we walk in that righteousness. Romans 10:3 says, some have gone about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So reality check is righteousness starts with obeying God. I mean, it's imputed to us. It's stamped on us. We are the righteousness of God in Christ, but now I'm going to choose to walk in it, and I want to walk in it by my profession, my thought life. Thought life, wow. Bring your thoughts captive. All right, so someone goes, well, I can't control my mind. Well, then start writing, I have the mind of Christ. I cast down imaginations. What you do is you take a pad and a paper and you spend some time and you write down, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have the mind of Christ. He's washed me in his blood. And you start writing these things down and you're seeing them. And as you're seeing them and as you're writing them, you begin to memorize them. And when you memorize them, then every time the subject comes up and you already have memorized them because you were writing them down. You know what I did is, when I was bad in school, they used to make me stay after. And I spent plenty of time staying after, right? And so they would make you write on the board when it was the chalkboard. And I don't think anybody has I don't even know if anybody has chalkboards anymore. But they'd write on the chalk. I'd have to write on the chalkboard, I will not misbehave in school, or I will behave, or I will listen, or I'll pay attention, or whatever it was that I violated. And I'd have to write it, 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 times and stuff like that. Well, I learned the easiest way was to do one letter at a time. I will not miss behave. In class, all that way. That's the way I did it. Well, that's the way I thought, you know what? If I learned how to do that, why not use the same thing for learning a verse? Nobody said you have to learn 100 verses. Just learn one verse. And if you don't know how to learn one verse, then do it the way you did in school when you had to stay after and you had to write it on the board. I am the righteousness of God, and write that. Then guess what happens? You'll never forget it. Guess what? You memorize that verse. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I am, then what else? I am the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I'm blessed in this city. I'm blessed out where I live. What I put my hands to prospers. I cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts us. How did I learn those verses? It's just the way I did what I just told you. I got pads and pads of paper. Somebody's going, I just sensed this in my heart. Somebody's going, dude, you're weird. No, you know what I need? You know what I need and what you need? I need the weapon of my warfare, which is not carnal. It's the word. The word is what? The sword of the Spirit. And if I can't quote any word, then it's not a sword, Christians. If you can't quote a scripture, that scripture's not a sword. You can't hope it. You can't try and think it. You need to know it in your heart and not in your mind. You get it, sink it down into your heart. Then it comes up out of your heart as a weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're the word of God. And when I take a scripture and someone goes, well, man, I don't have time. Sure you do. Sure you do. You've got a moment every day at your break time or at lunch or at some time at home or you know, where I can memorize a verse today. What do I need from God? I'm going to find it in my concordance, and then I'm going to memorize a verse that explains that God has that for my life. Now, when you get into specifics, that's different. I'm not talking about the general truth of God's word, learning and memorizing God's word so that when it comes up, when fear comes, fear is the simplest one to use. Fear is the first one you should use. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of sound mind. Or, fear not, for I am with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Learn a scripture about fear so that every single time I get afraid, you can quote that verse. And by quoting that verse, you may not think that there's a spiritual war going on, but there is a spirit that's tempting you to be afraid. That's a lot of spirituality. It's true. It's the enemy. It's the enemy's family. He's trying to get you to do those things. But when you know that verse and when you say that verse, he doesn't have any response that he can respond with. He can try and stay. He can try and stay thinking you'll quit. You'll quit before I will. And so he'll stay there and he'll keep pushing on you. But if you stay, hold your ground and you stay the course and you resist him, the Bible says resist him and he will flee. Well, I'm not just going, I'm resisting you. No, you speak a sword. You speak a word. And that word cuts him. He has no defense. Jesus spoke the word, and the Bible says the devil left when Jesus spoke the word. And we take his advice. We take his example. We take our Savior, our Lord, our God Almighty, how he defeated the enemy. He didn't have to die on the cross. He chose to die on the cross. He didn't have to shed his blood. He chose to shed his blood. He didn't have to suffer and do all those things. He made that choice so that we wouldn't have to. But now that he's won the victory and now he's taught us from his word and he's given us the Apostle Paul and all the New Testament gifts and the Psalms that are so full, David's so full, and Proverbs are so full. What's so good about Proverbs and Psalms is you got one-liners. One-liners. You know, you don't have to read a chapter. You just read a one-liner and you kick back and you go, what does that mean? And you ponder it. It's called meditation in the word. I go to Psalms. If the first place you left today and you go, I'm going to do what Pastor Steve says to do. Well, you go to Psalms first, you find your favorite Psalm and you get in your chair and you kick back and you go, let me ponder that for a while. And envision that verse so that it becomes a memory. And the question then is, what memory do you have of Scripture? Because in this day that we're in this spiritual warfare that we're in, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds. What's a stronghold? Casting down imaginations. Imaginations, if you let them play in your brain, they become strongholds. Casting down imaginations and high things. What are high things? things that are outside of the norm. High things are things in the heavenly realm of not God's heaven, but the heavenly realm of this atmosphere where the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness, where they're in this realm. And so we're casting down those things. And so I'm using whatever weapons I have, and you must believe that the word is powerful. Because it says the word is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to pierce. You know, when you check your meat in the oven, you have to pierce it. And then hopefully when it's done, the juice comes out and you know it's done. But piercing the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. So the word of God will divide all that, and you can eliminate a lot of foolishness and junk and get right to the crux of the issue. And somebody goes, well, I'm not in spiritual warfare as much as you. I'm not living that way. I don't think most Christians realize that we blow past so much that if we chose to resist it, it would just leave. Some Christians that I know of, they have issues that are very deep. And if we would put up a fight, if we would resist, the enemy would leave and they'd get free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I want everybody to be free. I want you to be able to, you know what's really embarrassing? Defeated Christians that have no power. That's embarrassing. Because this is battle. It's a spiritual battle. And we need soldiers that can fight. Man, when I was on the streets of South Minneapolis growing up, I wanted to make sure I was with guys that knew how to fight. Because if I started shooting my big mouth off to another gang, all of a sudden the gang comes over. I started trouble too many times, but it was nice to have guys that were twice my size hanging around with me. But, you know, turn that into a spiritual scenario. I've got all of heaven. I've got the best weapons available in the universe. I've got the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I've got the word of God. I've got faith. I've got the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds. So I am, if I'm a serious Christian, I am fully equipped. Not only that, if I get, you know, if I'm backpedaling, I've got the helmet of salvation. I got the breastplate of righteousness. My loins are girded about the truth. I have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all else, I woke somebody up. I saw somebody went, that's the objective, to yell. I have the shield of faith wherewith I am able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then I go on the offensive. The sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon. It cuts asunder the things of the enemy. And so we trust the word of God as the sword of the Spirit. Somebody say amen to that. And I have no idea what time it is. Praise God, I got some time here. All right, so the gift of righteousness, talking about righteousness. Psalm 11:5, I think I left there. The Lord tries the righteous. True Christianity accepts God's free gift of righteousness by faith. Then we walk in righteousness. Romans 10:3, some have gone about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted. Submitted. Submitted is a really good word over here, or it's a really bad word over here, because pride does not want to submit. My pride goes, I'm not submitting to any authority. I'm not submitting to my parents, not submitting to my friends, not submitting to God. I'm not submitting to the Bible. I'm not submitting to the church. I'm not submitting to anyone. Nobody can tell me what to do. Well, that's just bad attitude, and you don't get anywhere. You'll be fruitless. Listen, I want to tell somebody something. I had some of the best jobs on earth. And I'm not bragging. It was a testimony to putting God first and doing what I'm saying here. God opened doors for me, and I won't tell them this morning, but I can tell you stories. You've heard my stories over and over and over because I had some of the best jobs on earth. In my sphere of influence, as far as, you know, I couldn't go and be I couldn't build, you know, I did actually. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't a doctor. I wasn't a lawyer. I couldn't represent myself in a court of law. I couldn't sew anybody's cuts. But in my sphere of influence, I had the best jobs. God opened doors for me, and that's my point. Somebody's going, well, I don't even want a job. You may say, I don't want a job. That's your business. But if you want to progress in God, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, press to climb that social ladder and get to the top, and now I'm at the top, and everybody, you see me. No, that's not about what it's about. It's called prospering. Prospering. Prospering is better than falling behind and not having enough and being, you know, miserable and sick and wretched, naked and poor. No, I want to move forward. And if I simply be a doer of the word, doors begin to open. Doors literally begin to open. And I didn't do that. God did that. When the door opens, give God the glory. That's all. Give God the glory. Father, thank you for opening that door for me. Wow. And you step through and you begin to reap the fruit of that door being opened to you. And you live correctly. You live correctly according to the will of God. You put God first place. You be a doer of the word. You seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And guess what? Another door opened to me. It can be in any realm. God's big enough in any realm. It doesn't matter if you're what you do for a living. Promotion doesn't come for Easter from the West. Somebody knows that verse. Promotion comes from the Lord. He sets up one and he puts down another. How do I know that verse by heart? Because I was believing God for promotion. I saw that God promotes the righteous. So if God promotes the righteous, hey, look at God, look at me, look at me. I claim to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm being a doer of the word. I'm seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. I want your blessing. I want you to open doors for me. And guess what happens? I'm a doer of the word. And I'm faithful in my job. I can't diss my job that I have now. I do my job faithfully. I don't have to be the best, but I can be a diligent person. And now all of a sudden God opens the door and I step through it and I'm going, oh no, what did I get myself into? And the next thing you go is, God, I need your help. And when you ask God for his help, all of a sudden things begin to fall in place and you're ready for another promotion. And you go, okay, I don't think I could handle this, God. I don't think I could, and I, you know, this was a test of my faith. I'm not sure. Of course you can. Who said that? Who said, of course you can? God did. God says, of course you can. You're belittling yourself. You're not believing that there's more for you to gain. Someone's going, well, I don't want to gain. Why? Prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Prosper means that you have enough to share with the church, to share with others, to be a blessing, and then enjoy it. Amen. That you may enjoy life and have it more abundantly. He came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. What to me is abundant life? First and foremost, it's spiritual. I need to be strong spiritually. Then I need to be healthy. I want to be strong physically. But now in the natural things, I want to move forward and prosper, be in health, even as my soul prospers, so that I can be a blessing. My testimony, I think, if I was a young man, and I heard someone say that if you're diligent, if you're faithful, diligent, you seek God, seek first the kingdom of God, God will promote you. When someone says that, I'll take them at the word, if you believe they're a doer of the word. That means that everybody's on the same playing field. And I could tell you a secret. One of the most excellent human beings I've ever met is my wife. She's an excellent human. Now, when I examine myself, I go, Pastor Steve, you're not an excellent human. What does that mean? It just means that I know all my past. I know my standing up. I know my sitting down. I know me, right? And I choose to walk in righteousness just the way you do. I choose to be in the Word every day just like you do. I choose to put God first place just the way you do. I choose to be good at what I do just like you do. Guess what? That's prosperable. That's prosperable. You can prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's 3 John 2, right? They're one of the little Johns. Prosper and be in health, even as a beloved, I wish above all things that you may, excuse me, prosper and be in health. Does the Bible really mean that? Well, of course it means that. That may be a disconnect right there. You don't believe the word because you're in business, in the business world. And in the business world, no one keeps their word. Or I'm in some other realm and no one keeps their word. And so I never keep my word. Well, you want to take the first step? What's the easiest first step for us to take towards this? Keep your word. Be a person of integrity. And when you do, when you say, no one sees me but God, and that's all that matters because he knows my heart. He knows my standing up. He knows my sitting down. He sees me in the darkness. He sees me in the light. He knows exactly what I do every second, every millisecond, every day of my life. And if I don't care what any of you think, but I care about everything that God thinks, I'm pointed in the right direction, and I'm believing that when I get to the doors, they swing open. It's called favor. I believe that as Christians, we can walk in favor. If I live in sin as a Christian, favor doesn't work. But when I say that, you know what, I'm going to turn my back on the world. I'm going to turn my back on drugs, alcohol, sexual perversions, and liaisons or whatever you want to call them. If I'm in a pornography, if I say I'm leaving that world, all of it behind, alcohol, drugs, everything. And I turn my attention 100% to walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. God will begin to open doors for you. Pretty soon, wow, something good is happening to me. So, and again, going back to this Romans 10:3, some have gone about to establish their own righteousness, and they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Your righteousness won't work. His righteousness is always what works. And, in 2 Corinthians 1:30, but of him, is that 1:30 or 2:30? But Corinthians 1:30, of him you are in Christ. God has made unto wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So if I accept this by faith, me right now, right where I'm at, everybody, you are in Christ. God has made unto you wisdom available to you. Righteousness available to you. We are the righteousness of God in Christ if you believe it. Righteousness, sanctification, sanctified in Christ, and redeemed, redemption. So these things are by faith, and now that you know the word, and most of you know that probably verse by heart, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, then that's who I am. And now I'm building this portfolio, who I am in Christ. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. I'm walking in that. Our highest standard of righteousness is far below God's standard. I already mentioned that, but Galatians 2:21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. So as I make the transition from going the wrong way, and I turn to go God's way, and I'm making progress, and I'm picking up momentum, and I'm picking up speed, and I'm picking up strength, I'm picking up courage, I'm picking up ability. Why? Because God is on my side, and he's the one that's helping me to do this. Then I get to this place where he's made unto me, I can't do that job. How can I do that job? That's way above me. Well, he's made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification, redemption, and you can do all things. You know, if it's in your wheelhouse. Now, for me to be a physics major or to be a scientist or something, no way, obviously. But to go down my path, which was a career in printed circuit board design and automation and computer and training, started with just a basic degree from a drafting school. So I went to this place where I was working on nuclear weapons. I tell you all the time, but I love it. I love saying it. I was working on nuclear weapons for Honeywell in a private room that was locked about six ways. Someone goes, I don't want to work in a room by yourself and work on nuclear weapons all by yourself. They said when the computer slowed, because it was standalone, they could not share these secrets with any of the other computer network. It was standalone. So when that standalone computer, I told you this, but I'm going to tell you again. When that standalone was processing, there was nothing you could do. I said, what can I do when the computer's processing and it takes so much time? Read something. Oh, really? Can I bring my Bible? Of course you can bring your Bible. Oh, so I bring my Bible, and while I'm doing work in this room that was cut off from all of humanity with about six locks and combinations and all that, I was working on nuclear weapons. And I was the kid from 35th in Chicago in South Minneapolis that was always looking for a fight. And we robbed the corner store so many times. We stole so many things. And we did everything that was ungodly. And then all of a sudden, you give your life to Christ and you think God's just going to turn it around. When you sell out, he'll turn it around. When you sell out, God will turn it around. He'll make a way when there seems to be no way. Every single person has potential to excel. Every one of us have within us, by the faith of Jesus Christ and the Word of God and His power, we have in us the ability to excel, to go way exceedingly. That's why it's in there. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, according to the power that's inside of us. And what power is inside? Wonder-working power through the blood, through the name, through the Word of God. That's why we sell out to God. That's why we put God first. That's why we separate ourselves from the world. That's why we put down pornography. That's why we turn our back on stealing and cheating and doing all the things that the world does. That's why we say no. We say no because God asked us first. He says, don't do it. Okay, Lord, I won't do it. But every person in this room, and those of you watching, we can prosper. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish that you may prosper and you may be in health even as your soul prospers. That word is written to every Christian. Some of us take it seriously. Some of us just go, okay, I'm going to do this on my own. Okay, go ahead, figure it out. One advantage I had over you, I couldn't figure it out. I never could figure it out. But when I let go and I let God, I started to figure it out because he kept showing me how to figure it out. And as I go a step further, I can't do this, Lord. I don't know, what am I doing here? He showed me how to figure it out. Pretty soon, wow, this is amazing. Look what the Lord has done. Somebody say amen to that. I'm not pushing anybody out of your comfort zone. If you like, and you're very comfortable in what you're doing, then take a step up in your spiritual life. Push higher spiritually. Just push higher. Not pushing in the sense of not being patient or kind or love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, faith, faithless, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Not violating that. But just pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus here in this world. Because once you cross over, I don't know where in the Bible where there's promotion after crossing over. All right, so if Jesus came today, what you did here will be your reward there. It's your rank. Let's talk about rank for a second. Some go, oh, I just want to be the lowest level on the totem pole, the lowest rung. What if God never planned for you to be that? Never. But if you don't press towards the mark for the prize, you will be at that place. And there's so many Christians that believe that, no, I don't want to be anything. I don't want to. And that's, I understand that. But if God is prompting you to move forward, to move ahead, to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. What is the high calling? What if each of us today ask God, what is the high calling? What is the high calling in my life? What is the high calling in your life? Well, he might ask me to do something I don't want to do. Very, very possible. Because God will push you out of your flesh. God will push you out of your comfort zone. God will push you, and when I say push, I don't mean God will help you out of your comfort zone. He'll put you in a place where you need to rely on him. And that's the key. That's the key. So let me close with a couple of verses here. Again, Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You can frustrate the grace of God if you say, I can't do it. Grace of God says you can. I can do all. How do I respond when I think I can't do it? You respond from your heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gives me the courage. He gives me the strength. He gives me the ability. I am who I am because of Jesus Christ. Now, and I think it's fear. Most people are afraid to step out of their comfort zone. I'm not, hey, you know what? Don't move unless you know, don't move unless you know it's God telling you to take a different route. But if you're in faith, you'll know and you'll believe. All right, lastly today, going back to our two ideas here, two scriptures, Philippians 3:9, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. We talked about that. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. My own righteousness is filthy rags. Let's just get that one today and lock it down. His righteousness has been imputed to me. So when I see righteousness, I see Christ and his righteousness, and I'm in him. Lastly today, Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. This has been an absolute crazy period of time. And Christians, we must let ourselves be subject to the governing authorities. Why? Because there is no authority but from God. and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. I'm going to trust this verse, even if a city police officer came behind me and conked me in the head. What are you doing? Why'd you conk me in the head? I didn't do anything. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put God's word higher than that. Some of you might have had some situation that caused you to never want to submit to authority ever again. But because of God, because I trust God, because I believe his word, because I know he loves me, he wants what's good for me, I am going to humble myself. It was frightening. It was frightening for me. It'll be frightening for sometimes when you go, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone and I'm now going into an unknown world that I have no clue about. But I'm trusting the Lord that he's with me and he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And he's with me to the end of the world. Can someone say amen this morning? Amen. I enjoy victory. And I pray that as a church, we'll enjoy victory. This place is victory to me. It's beautiful. I love being here because it's a testimony of victory. You as a church, we stayed together for a long time and God provided, but now we have a new facility and we're so blessed to have this beautiful facility. And now we're believing God to fill the church. Believe to fill it. But I'm grateful to God for his miracles, and God can do a miracle in your life. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Pastor Nat, you want to come up? I think my dad, hey, look at this.
Oh, right on the money.
We were talking, because I went long last week, you know, and we were talking a little bit, and we agreed that there would be a particular time we started to...
First step, always, is you got to give your life to the Lord. And it's 100%. It's all in. It should be all in. I'm an all-in person. I'm a little extreme. And I grew up going to church, but I never knew you could have a personal relationship with the Lord. In fact, the pastor's wife in the church told my dad that God doesn't talk to people anymore. I pray she found out different, but the pastor of the church was a good pastor. But I never knew that you could have a personal relationship with the Lord. And for me, I thought about that. I understood, for whatever reason, I understood that if I surrendered to God, there wasn't going to be no turning back. And I'm so thankful that I did. I'm so thankful that I surrendered and got out of my own way. God is faithful, and he has been faithful. I like to do my own thing. Probably no different than most people. Most of us like to do our own thing. We want it our way. But it has to be God's way. And when you surrender your life to him, you just go, okay, God, do whatever you want. Your will be done. He will take you places and do things in your life that you could never imagine. And I also didn't want to be, you know how kids sometimes go kicking and screaming? The parents sometimes, you'll see the mom or the dad in the grocery store and they're trying to get stuff done. And you got a kid just kicking and screaming the entire way. Don't be the kid kicking and screaming in the kingdom of God. Right? If you're a parent, don't you just love it when your kid's like, how can I help? What can I do to make things better? What if we all came to the, you know, every day, every Christian got up and said, God, what do you want me to do today? How can I make the kingdom of God better? How can I help your light shine through me to someone else? And then you just follow through. It is a life worth living. It's a blessed life. It's not easy. It's not easy. Jesus said you're going to have tribulation. Things are going to happen. But be a good cheer. Be of good cheer. When things happen, he's got a way out. God's faithful. He's faithful to his word. And so we always want to give everybody an opportunity to ask Jesus into their heart, not just to be their savior. To me, that's just minimal. How about be my Lord? Take over my life. I don't know, maybe some of you have done a great job running your own life. God has done a way better job running my life than I could have ever figured out myself. I can absolutely 100% testify. So let's say this together. Father God, I humble myself. You are God. I am not. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. That you came from heaven. You were born as a man. You took my sin, the sin of the world, into yourself. You died on the cross, and you shed your perfect blood to pay the price, to pay my penalty. And I'm grateful. But you didn't stay in the grave. You rose again. I ask you to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I submit to your will and to your way. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that will help me, guide me, and lead me into all truth. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for giving me your righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, old things have passed away, and all things are new. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close by receiving the offering. I was talking to Dolores. We had our girls' lunch yesterday and some ministry time, and she had made the comment, you should encourage people to use their faith when they give. Sometimes if you've been giving for a long time and you understand the principles of supporting the church, it becomes a habit, but you're not really putting your faith into why and the promises that come along with it. So in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God promises that if we do our part, he does his part multiplied back to us. But then verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. God rebukes the devourer for our sakes when we are faithful to be doers of the word. And that scripture we've stood on. Sometimes the enemy just wants to know if you know what you're standing on. And so he might send some, devouring things at you financially. And we've stood up and said, hey, we're not having this in Jesus' name. God, you said you'd rebuke the devourer for our sakes. You have a way. Help us to know how to align ourselves with you to make good decisions. Where money's concerned, you can give and you can have faith, but you can be foolish. And then you got a disaster on your hands, and it's not God's fault. It's because you're not walking in wisdom. That's like a whole other message. But if you're doing what you know to do, trust God and use your faith to do his part. Amen? Father, thank you so much for the offerings, the gifts, and the tithes. Thank you for rebuking the devourer for our sakes. Thank you for pouring out blessings on your people. Lord, we purpose to use every penny to further your work, for your good, for your kingdom. And we thank you now, Father, for meeting the needs of the people of this church, meeting the needs of the church, and Father, for the ministries that we support as a congregation. We pray for them to have their needs met and their people to have their needs met. In Jesus' name, amen.